Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You were going to go too early, weren't you?
Yeah, no, I was just waiting because it was quite a long pause. I was like, it's broken already. We haven't even started. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, and Lucy Freeman. And I was worrying about our levels, Lucy, because we didn't do a levels check.
Oh.
We never do one anymore.
No.
Never mind. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's, as long as people can hear something, it'll be fine.
Speak up, love. People.
Just shout if you can't hear it back.
Yeah.
Let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge was sponsored by Tales of the Unexpected and was brought to you by a faint undercurrent of menace. More of that anon. We began the week with Beth, Ben, Bess and some bloomers. My dog once dug up a dirty G-string in the woods, but I don't think that was a soil experiment. Pip has gone completely mad, as is insisting all pensioners in the village should bury their undercrackers in fields. Anxious to avoid riling up a dangerous lunatic, they've all agreed. David has also fully embraced the idea because it's free. And as was made very clear this week, he is a stinge bag of monstrous proportions. Who doesn't tip? I hope every sandwich he's ever bought from anywhere and every portion of chips has been gobbed in. Tipping is not some hilariously louche idea from the continent, David. It's the way most people in service industries make any ruddy money. Over to Green Knackers, and Jazza and Jimus were planning an orgy at the village hall for Big Al's 60th, and he was not keen. As keeps happening at the moment in the Archers, Alistair went immediately from saying, no, no, I'm not having a party, to saying, why not bring Chelsea and Brad to the party that I'm not having? Jazza got a bit carried away with the whole thing, and Alistair said, it's a joint thing, Jazza, which Jazza thought was an excellent idea and would certainly liven things up a bit. Shula, always late to the party, has come up with the brilliant idea of having Alice take over the stables, 2 months after we all came up with it and 1 month after Lillian and Justin. Why does Shula always sound on the verge of lamping Justin in the eye when he hasn't even done anything? I mean, I know he's irritating, but the woman sounds as though she's quivering with suppressed rage the whole time, like Miss Piggy, just ready to haul off and let him have it in the eye. However, Shula is off to Sunderland, which isn't really fair as they already have Lauren Laverne, so haven't they suffered enough? In a charitable gesture that encompasses her really identifying with those struggling in our society, Shula is giving her business to her cousin and her house to her nephews. Carry on, Horribins, you'll be fine with no bog roll. Turn the other cheek. Her grateful and oleaginous nephews came rushing round to help Shula pack. Her sex toy box alone put Josh's back out, and he had to call for reinforcements. Meanwhile, back at the Bull, Kenton was fretting about her departure. I just want her to go, he said, and we all cheered. Then he turned the page and said, oh, sorry, I just wanted to go knowing how much we all care about her.
Very good.
And now part one of Undercurrent Menace. Jill basically told Beth that if she upset Ben, she'd be sleeping with the fishes. Jill and Peggy are both absolutely petrifying, like mafia bosses. Quiet power wielded from behind a copy of Good Housekeeping. Between them, they are the cozy Nostra. Undercurrent of Menace Part 2, an absolutely heartbreaking episode with Tracy confessing to not having a job to Oliver in the park, but with a slightly slowed down ice cream van tune in the background, which made it all sound slightly more apocalyptic than it need have been. As any fool know, having children's nursery rhymes, ice cream van music or fairground tunes in the background is the scariest thing ever in radio drama. There was then a rather stilted bit in the food bank, which had BBC Press Office written all over it. The thing I couldn't help thinking was, well, if that's it for the chicken factory, what in the world was all that business with Gemma? But then Oliver drove Tracy home while he played the flower duet. I like this one, said Tracy. Yes, it is popular with plebs who don't know about the classicals, said Oliver comfortably. As well as the menace, there was a lot of catching people up too. Dear nephew, Auntie Shula, Grace was Phil's first wife, you know, Beth. Even Captain Pugwash on his boat that we've all forgotten about, not to mention. Wonder how he's doing. No one seems to have visited him recently. Maybe with all the water pollution now, poor Rex has drifted off on a tide of raw sewage and he's grounded on the other side of the bypass, wondering how the hell to get back. Justin had a rather weird encounter with Rory and Super Gran at a convention that was about property. I thought for one horrible minute he was going to suggest a threesome. She talked about generous packages and Rory sounded incredibly shifty. And then finally, we ended with what I think we are supposed to believe is Chelsea being up the clanger. She has a bun in the oven, a horror bun, we could call it. Let's hope this is dealt with briskly and sensibly, as there is no way Chelsea having a baby is a good idea. But at the same time, whose horror bun is it? Russ's? The one she went off with who had a car when she went on a date with Jake? Or is it all a red herring and really she's taken out a payday loan or something? They really are piling it on the horror bins and ramping up the Thomas Hardiness to an astonishing degree. Next week, Chelsea throws herself in the mill pond and Brad takes the king's shilling. The end.
Oh, that made me laugh. Or is the horror bun Georgie's?
Georgie's? Why would it be Georgie's?
Because there could be a twist. Because, well, I can't believe, Lucy, that you were so prescient in your prediction. Because, you know, last week, well, you predicted she was preggers with Russ, like weeks
ago.
No, I didn't.
Somebody, listener did.
Oh, was it not you?
No.
Oh, well, whoever predicted it, that is outrageously good.
Yes.
Because then we were like, there's no way. Because they can't pile on more trauma.
I know.
So I think it might be a false... I'm sort of assuming it's going to be a false alarm.
Mm.
But on the other hand, is it going to bring joy? Is there going to be a twist in that the only person we think it could be is Russ? Because they've had that chemistry and then there was the festival thing, the rave thing.
Mm. And you don't remember what happened, do you, and all that stuff?
Exactly, exactly. Or is it Georgie because they've had a bit of sparkiness, haven't they? Been, you know, in a sort of nasty way. So there could have been a bit of history there.
No.
Well, the guinea... Well, yeah, you don't know, Lucy. You just don't know with the archers. It's just... Yeah, that's the exciting part of it, Lucy. We're all on tenterhooks. Can't wait to find out. But it can't lead to more misery for them. That's the thing. Because I feel like even though, you know, she's in
the cabinet. Do you know, I nearly cried with happiness when she got that job at the bar.
Well, I know, I was super happy for her, but I did think, didn't you think about asking at the Bull earlier?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just literally around the corner from you.
And also, you wouldn't, you know, Kenton and... I was going to say Jenton
Why
and Colleen. They would have just asked people that came in. They wouldn't have bothered putting a notice up in the thing and everything. Because they all know who's got jobs and who hasn't and who's looking and who's...
And then, but obviously everyone thought she was at the chicken factory. Yeah. And then I thought there was going to be a really annoying hoo-ha in which, because, you know, Kenton was like, well, we can't have somebody who's got another job. And then I thought, oh no, the kids are going to say, but Tracy's already got a job at the chicken factory. That obviously didn't happen, thank God. But... Yeah, no, it was great. I was really chuffed too, but I felt like it was a bit of an anticlimax to go from the horrors of the chicken factory and having nothing and the food, you know, the amazing food bank episode, which was amazing, Lucy. Lucy.
Oh, yes, it was amazing. I am so happy that now I am aware of the struggles that are facing people in economic downturn. Economic downturn, yes.
No, I thought it was genuinely moving, that episode. I mean, it was plonky, but to fit that into, you know, a very limited time, it was 10 minutes, isn't it? I thought they did that really well. And Oliver's speech, I thought was move. I thought it was, I thought actually that was played as.
Yes, when I said I'd put everything on Do Not Disturb, clearly I hadn't.
And they just told me to shut up. Shut up, it was fine. It was super moving, Lucy. Lots of people said so on Twitter. I thought it was moving. It didn't reduce me to tears, to be honest. But except that, obviously, it was an excellent... Well, because, it, you know, sometimes the Archers hits a brilliant... When it becomes real, which in that situation it did, didn't it? Because this is like an, you know, awful crisis for so many people... you know, like normal people suddenly, yeah. And we're all faced with this cost of living.
And also people who are working, because people always used to think about income support. Universal credit.
Yeah.
But I'm not unemployed, I'm not entitled to it. And it's just for people that can't make ends meet because the two match up, you know, and that's nobody's, well, it is somebody's fault, but let's not go into that. But it's certainly not the fault of the people that are struggling to survive.
And occasionally the BBC should be educative. And although, you know, I agree with you, it was sometimes it's too explainery, isn't it? Yeah. I actually think they did it in quite a delightful way. Well, as delightful as you can be in a food bank. But
it's such a super food bank. Honestly, darling, you must go.
Hello, Tracy. You look a bit sad. Come with me. Do you like custard creams? Tough. I've only got bourbons. My mummy likes a fig roll. What about yours? The thing that struck me in that episode was they were allowed to say Marmite.
Yes.
Whereas usually they'd say yeast-based sandwich spread.
How do you feel about yeast-based sandwich spread that causes a great deal of controversy?
Well, I thought the only reason they could say it was because it's quite an impartial one, in that Tracy can go, I don't really like it, but
that's
Chelsea
true.
Loves it.
Yeah. I hate it. She loves it. It's a bit Marmite, really. Oh, I see. Yeah.
That really, I'm sure that's the first time they've ever had a real brand mentioned on the Archers. And I did think, was there a big meeting about the word Marmite?
Marmite gate. Are we going for it, chaps, or not?
I thought that was a...
I also very, very much enjoyed the prospect of Alistair being frightened at having drill music at his 16th birthday party.
There's no way. I'd be like, are you having a laugh? Those children are not coming to my 60th birthday party. Or if they come, that's one thing, but they are definitely not bringing any of their friends or their music. But you'd be, you know, like with the food bank episode, just going back to that special episode, Lucy, which I thought was a highlight of the week. If they'd
You're
had
such a creepy crawler. I know. Creepy, I know. Creepy, creepy crawler.
But look,
are.
I'm because I feel like if they'd had half an hour or 45 minutes, it could have been fantastic. You know, like with the, I know, you know, it was all a bit, you know, the trouble is,
rushed.
You just don't, there isn't the time to like, you know, they didn't even have enough time to sort of fade out the music at the end. And, but I thought what they did in 10 minutes or whatever was, I thought that was pretty outstanding.
Mm.
Because they had a, it was a.
We
real...
have already done a food bank though with Emma.
Really? Mm. Did Emma go to the food bank? Was it the same one in the bank?
I don't know.
Shelley there.
The bank, food bank. It wasn't Shelley.
It does
though.
Look imposing, Tracy and Lucy.
Don't be frightened of big buildings. They can't hurt you, Chelsea.
It was a bit.
I mean, Tracy. No.
But the trouble is, as well, they always get the nicest sounding person to do those roles, and it makes you just go, oh, maybe it just could have been a bit of a bitch who was like a tired person.
Yes.
It was like, well, if you get, are you going to come in? Are you coming in or not? Look, if you don't want to, that's fine. But I'm busy.
Yeah.
But of course it's not going to be like that, is it?
I've got 14 like, crates of Marmite here going off. Do you want them or not?
Okay.
But
enough on the
I was extremely pleased that she got the job.
Me too. That finally there's good news.
Yes, and I can't quite believe the story about the Chelsea pregnancy thing. So I am sticking my fingers in my ears and going la 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 about that in the hope that on Sunday we're all going to go, oh, you cheeky monkeys, you had us all thinking.
No, I think it'll play out a bit longer because there'll be a whose baby is it? I think.
God.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because it's good if it's a false alarm. Mm. But, you know, or it has a happy ending in that she has the baby and still carries on with her hairdressing business. I still think there's
give over.
More.
She can't do that. Who's gonna no?
Yeah, I know. Who's gonna look? Who's gonna look after the baby?
It's only archers that can afford to work and have babies that they just hand over to.
True. But I don't think the chicken factory storyline is done. I hope
really?
It's not anyway.
Because I think Gemma's going to get fired, and they're going to ask Tracy to come back and be a supervisor.
Or she's going to get a. Take her to court for bullying or something.
Oh. Okay.
Well, we're just waiting for Emma to come back and sort it all out.
I know.
It's annoying. Come on, Emma, hurry up.
Emerald, your baby's fine. Just leave it. It's fine.
Hurry now. We don't know that there's more not going on. Maybe she's just had enough.
She's But I'm not going back.
If she has had enough, remember, like, it does need a bit of work, obviously, because I haven't heard her for a while. But I can stand in. Thanks. Because I first started doing the Archer's voices when they got rid of the first Emma.
Right.
And Emerald came in and did such a great impression of the old Emma. And I was like, oh, I could might be able to do that. And maybe I'll get the job as the new Pip. Obviously didn't.
Yeah, that went well.
Just nothing. People are always going like, are you in the Archers yet? No, I'm not. Okay, I'm just not. All right, it's fine. I don't want to be, okay? Because I couldn't do my podcast then, so I just don't want to be.
Anyway, you just have to do lots of sex scenes with Stella.
Oh my God. Also, imagine how awful the pressure would be to be good. Having
having taken the piss out of it royally for the last 2 years.
Imagine how many effort noises I would do. Yeah. It'd be awful. I'd be so over the top and hammy. Be so awful, Lucy.
Yes.
Enough about me.
I thought Rory and Supergran and Justin thing was really horrible.
I got a very generous package.
And also, the bit that made me go, yeah, more than anything, was when he said, I'm easy or something, or I'm relaxed. And she said, yes, that's why I like you.
But I thought it was good. I thought it was ramping this relationship up to the next level, because you know what you said with Mr. Newbie last week, which is he's falling in love with her.
Yeah.
And she.
I don't think he's falling in love with her. I think he is just trying to convince himself that he's not a prostitute.
Really? So I agree with you.
He's trying to convince himself that that they would have a relationship even if she wasn't paying him. And he's going to push it and then she's going to say no.
But I think he clearly does like her. Like he's said
Well, he's sort of impressed with her.
I don't know. I think maybe he's got feelings for her and she's and I think it's going to turn out that she has a family and, you know, a husband and kids somewhere. And when he finds that out, that's going to sort of skew his
I don't think she's sort of intimate or warm. She's not capable of intimacy. I don't think she'd be able to have
her.
Do you? I think she's horrible.
I like her. I mean, I
how
I, yeah. What? I think she's a good actress for a start. I do believe her, and I think her. I think she's clever in that she's sounds. I think she's got this great. She's somehow conveying the fact that she's, you know, fun to hang around with and warm and lovable. But then there's that other sudden quick side of her, which is like...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she's a really good actress. But as a character, she's horrid.
I'm still a tiny bit on the fence about it. Mm. I know it's wrong to pay someone to be in a relationship with you, but it's not like... Rory has a choice. He doesn't need to be in that relationship. He could literally just walk away. I don't think he feels like he's trapped in that relationship, because he said to her on the phone, no, I'm not available that night. And and I mean, I know the money's one thing, but I don't know. I feel like it's not quite as black and
it
white.
It just
as,
does such a lot of, you have to be in to believe that you're only worth, someone's only going to want you.
But I don't get that from him. I feel like he genuinely is having a great time.
Okay.
There are some benefits to being with me, Rory. Yeah, go and use the spa for the day. You know, all that sort of stuff. But I feel like he the way he's coming across is, even the way he talks to Ben about it, he's obviously it hasn't struck him that he's a prostitute. Mm. And that's going to, I guess, make him question things a bit, but I don't feel like he's in a bad place.
Okay.
And yeah, well, anyway, we'll see how it pans out. I mean, I'm not condoning it, Lucy, but it's not like he's a vulnerable person that doesn't have a supportive family, and you know, he's a spoiled kid, isn't he? And he's just trying to make money.
I think it says a great deal about his psychological state, though, that he's gone into this so willingly and so rapidly.
Yeah, but I mean, is it going to damage him? I mean, is it going to stop him?
He's
getting...
He's already
damaged. Yeah, yeah. Well, then it's fine then, isn't it?
Carry on. Yeah.
I can't believe you thought him and they were going to have a threesome. Justin was like disgusting.
Oh, he really was. It was horrid.
My God. It was just poor Rory. I just felt so sorry for him at that point. That might make him question things as well, to be seen suddenly, because it's only actually when someone else sees you, isn't it, that you start looking at it from their perspective and you see what the reality is. So maybe things will change. But I think he's going to fall for her and she's going to hurt him in that she's... Because she's already like, whoa, you don't need to say things like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not part of the arrangement.
Yes.
Little boy. Little boy with a generous package. No, I'm with banana and noodle now. I've got this incredible... Yeah, I got out the right time. I love it when they do business.
Yes.
Speak.
And all the company names are things like... Hector Hochter and
Hoffman and Heidi Hops. Yeah. Got out the right time. Yeah. God, yeah. Now I've got a little startup of my own.
And also that he said it was all the usual. It's like I was moaning about last week about them when they never specify about money and say things like, how much of the money have you had? I have had some of the money. Have you also had some of the money? Yes, I have also had some. And this time it was, so unusual to find you here at a property, at a convention like this. Yes, I am here at a property, at a convention.
What is it about?
He said, property. And then he said, so are you interested in startups? And I thought, why would he be interested in startups? It's a property convention. What are you talking about?
That's what confused me. It's so funny all that. I love it when they get...
Because it's written by people who have never, ever...
Hey guys,
been to a convention, worked in an office. They're like asking their wives and husbands and cousins and whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's locate it in at a convention.
What do you do at a convention?
You just walk around and talk. You drink wine and talk to people.
Yes.
Surely, you network.
Yeah. Put keynote in. Keynote. They say keynote a lot. And breakout rooms. Breakaway? No, breakout. Breakout. I think they break out. They don't break away.
But it's funny as well that Justin is the only businessman.
Well, it was him and Matt Crawford, but Matt Crawford was more kind of out the, you know, back of a suitcase, literally business, whereas Justin is proper, kind of you know.
I find that storyline quite interesting. Mm. I know it gives you the creepies, but it's just it's a little bit different as well, isn't it?
Yep. Well, even as like Auntie Jean said, she said it's horrible, but it is interesting. It's a good storyline.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Jill sounded old.
Yes, she sounded like she had a really bad cold or cough or something. Actually,
yeah. She has sounded like that before, and then she's bounced back, hasn't she?
I think we are going to have a bit of a rejig because Shula is...
leaving forever, though. Shula must surely just be having a break.
Well, I don't know. Shula's married to Brian in real life.
Yeah, they can't be getting rid of Shula. She's still jolly good at what she does. Oh, yeah. I was trying to learn her voice so that we can keep hearing her, but she's hard.
Everything she
does is very strained. Yeah, I can't... can't think about
what would 20-year-old blokes want with a bureau, by the way? We can't have that because it's nice and Ben will bump into it. Just say, "Is a bureau? I don't want a bureau. What do I do? Is it something I can prop my Xbox on?"
Also,
I'm not interested.
What's happened to that cottage that one of them painted in the wrong colour?
That was Rickyard. Stella's living in it.
Oh, Stella's living
in
it. Why was someone, one of them would... Like it just
because they couldn't argue, they couldn't decide between who was going to have it. So then
they just rented it out. And now we're, I mean, it's like, the sort of just putting your nephews in a house and making them pay peppermint. What's the word?
Peppermint. Not playing in tree bore or anything. And then
just some peppermints for the horses would be fine.
And then giving the business to your... I think Mr. Newby worked out, because I said, what relation is Shula to Alice? And then there was a flurry of paper as he tried to work it out. I think they're second cousins. First cousins once removed, Shula and Alice. So so she's still keeping it in the family,
the
even by letting it, giving it to Alice.
But I can't believe that we're not going to hear from Shula again. Otherwise, it would have been a bit of a fanfare about her. And she didn't sound very, she sounded quite pucker. But then the show must go on with Shula. She's professional to the last, isn't she?
Yeah.
Because I thought if it was me and they were writing me out.
Well, at least no one's asked to bury her pants. It's all very unsavoury, that storyline.
Oh, my God. But you know it's a thing, burying the pants. It's an actual thing that they're doing.
Yes. Well, why could it not just be socks or...
Well, also, it was a bit over-egging the pudding, wasn't it? There was a bit... I mean, the pants banter was went on a,
the pants
went
bants.
On a bit. Pants and pants bants.
Did not,
yeah. Let's bury Shula's pants. Keep a bit of...
I did quite like drunk David shouting, though.
I love
what?
Drunk...
pants!
I really love David and Kenton scenes. They... I mean, I must be... Dave and Kenton, I must be so middle-aged, but they actually make me laugh.
No, I did. I like that one.
I think they're really good together, those two.
And also, David is such a tightwad, isn't he? He really is.
Oh, God, that new tight... I think we probably always assumed he was pretty tight.
But this is extraordinary.
It's
kind
disgusting,
of,
yeah, isn't it? And, yeah. And not actually hilarious, just horrible.
But basically. I did think, you know, that was a nice counterpoint to... I don't know whether I'm... Do you think I'm taking this too seriously at all, Harriet? But the counterpoint, juxtaposition counterpoint, Harriet, between
yes.
the Horribins and Chelsea, Tracy, I keep saying Chelsea, I mean Tracy. Tracy saying, I never get things easy. Nothing is ever handed to me on a plate. And then the next scene is... Shula handing out the house to
well, that's what it
cousins,
felt like this week, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and also David saying, I never tip, you know,
yes.
And he's got loads of money.
Yeah, but they did. It really, really felt this week that, well, that is a reflection of society at the moment, isn't it? It's
yep.
like, you know...
It's not even the haves and the have-nots, it's the have-nots and the have-loads. That's what it is in Ambridge anyway.
Yes, exactly. And but you know, and Tracy isn't seen. Or like people like Tracy aren't seen or don't are too, you know, don't want to go, hang on a minute, this is completely wrong.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that was must have all been deliberate. And those boys getting that of Shula's house, and they're so unlikable when they're when they're arguing and being prats.
Yeah.
But again, the Josh and Beth thing, did that make you go, is he in love with her?
No.
Well, why was what was the point of all that sort of?
Because it was to show that Josh genuinely does have deep feelings for Ben.
Really? He just thought, I just thought he came across as unlikable. And I thought, well, it must be because he still fancies Beth.
No, I really don't think so.
God, it was dull, all that. And then that egg scene about, like, no, it's genuinely interesting. And you're like, no, it's not really. This is a really boring scene. I don't understand what the significance of it is.
And I'll tell you what, not Emma, who am I talking about? Blah, 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 blah. Alice has to stop crawling to Susan because she just has to say, Susan, yes, I know I was ill. I did some terrible things. I've apologised for them. I am showing you that I am not like that anymore. And now, you know, you could always text me. You could always...
Why are you talking in that voice, Alice? It's really grating.
Are you pissed again?
Every word is an apology. I hate it. It's so grating, that voice, isn't it, when she does her apology voice?
God. And you think, just, you know, you've owned it. It's okay. You can stop now.
But I didn't, you know, the liqueurs. And she was like, as long as they're not liqueurs. Were they liqueurs? And then did she have one? Because then she was like, all right, maybe I'll just have one. I'll have the strawberry cream. That's not a liqueur, though, is it?
No.
But then I thought, oh my God, is this like a tiny bit of her getting back on the wagon? Falling off the wagon,
I mean. She's sliding off it again, courtesy of her.
Yes, mother-in-law, via a liqueur. Because that was, it genuinely worried me for a little bit. But that was nothing, was it? That was just silly.
That was just silly.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm glad they're having the naming ceremony in the back garden and not up a flipping hill, because that's ridiculous.
What could possibly go wrong? No, it'll all be really lovely, won't it?
Yes, it will. Oh, Alice, we're so glad we've got you back again. No, it'll be Neil that does that, won't it? It'll be going...
Hi, Brian. Brian. Well, Alice.
Well, actually, when Susan said he's still a bit grumpy about you know, what happened with Brian. That was Neil. Brian didn't say it was Neil that went for Brian. It wasn't the other way around. So Neil's got to sort of eat a bit of humble pie, I think, to keep everybody happy.
It really made me laugh, though, when Alice was like, you know, when I was little, I just always wanted to work with horses. And then, like, I got caught up in the rat race.
I know.
And I was like, you were at work for about a year and a half, probably. That was your career.
And it was with your dad and your brother. Mm.
And Price Bowerman. Yes. But she was at Price Bowerman for about 6 months,
yes,
wasn't she?
Yeah, and the rest of the time she was getting rat-arsed in the eco office. Driving around giggling on quad bikes and things.
She has way too high opinion of herself.
Oh no, she really does. And anyway, most of the time she hasn't been actually doing anything she was trained for anyway. She's been wedding planning and everything else.
But remember, she used to make helicopters or tractors.
Oh, yes.
So she must be incredibly clever,
yes,
Lucy. But I know Shula's not liked, but I'll be sad not to have her around.
Yeah.
But I guess she's sort of got to get out of the way so Alistair can get on with Denise, which must be imminent.
Do you think that'll happen at the 60th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe Chelsea's father of her kid will be... Yeah, well, it'll be interesting, won't it? I wonder if Russ is coming... If there are any scenes with Russ next week, it'll be interesting to see who's...
Well, somebody said on Twitter that they'd looked ahead said, ooh, don't spoil it for yourselves. Don't read the listings ahead of who's in it.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry, but that... I'm just
I haven't, but obviously that means that you're going to.
Yeah, I'm,
yes.
I'm doing it right now,
yes,
Lucy.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, but it was a great week, I thought. It was a really,
yes,
really good week.
I thought
week.
It was very well written this week.
Very well written.
With the exception of...
No, Lucy, okay. Shout out to the SWs, especially for that food bank scene.
Yes.
La, 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 la. I remember when that was in that BA ad.
Yeah.
And... I loved it so much. And then I was listening to... I think I loved it so much that I tried to find out what it was, but obviously didn't have Google then. But then they played it on John Peel for some reason, on Radio 1 or 2, whatever he was on in those days.
One.
And I recorded it onto a tape because I loved it so much. So I was basically like Tracy, wasn't I?
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful piece, isn't it? But it's a shame that it couldn't have... You know, if it had been a movie, it would have been fantastic. You could have had a really good soundtrack. You could have, like, had that opera and then some other funky beats. It would have been great, Lucy. But
yes,
it's not a movie.
I like the idea of Tracy.
La, la, la,
hurtling,
la.
Flashing through villages with Oliver.
Yeah, there could have been an excellent montage. There's just never enough time for a montage and you can't see what's happening.
I think that's what's the biggest problem with the montage thing, Harriet. It's the fact that it's on the radio.
I've got to upcoming episodes.
Look at the cast list for next week's
how do I look
omnibus.
At the cast list, though?
Next week's
how
omnibus.
I...
So Sunday.
Oh, so
the...
I go into BBC Sounds?
Yeah.
Okay,
Sunday
and go
the 10th
to.
Of Sunday. September.
Oh, it doesn't go as far as that, Lucy.
Ah.
Oh, hang on. I'll go Friday. Go. So, listeners, you may want to look away now. Look away now. Should I just tell you who's in it who we've never heard of?
Yeah.
Oh, Russ is in it.
Oh, Russ
is in it. A doctor. There's Den. It could be Dr. Den. Just Den.
Denise?
No, it's just D-E-N, played by Lawrence Saunders.
Oh.
Lily's in it. Freddie's in it. Yeah, it's just the usual cast,
okay.
But there's Den. but Russ is featuring.
What was the name of the bloke that she went off with, that Chelsea went off with when she was supposed to be on a date with Jake?
Yeah, maybe that was him. I don't think we ever really knew, did we?
I'm sure she mentioned his name.
Let's see if there's a Freddie offers support. Oh my God. Maybe she will have the baby and her and Freddie will get together.
No, I don't want her to have a baby. No.
It's lovely having a baby, Lucy.
Not when you're 18, just 18. And you're a Wally and you've got no money and neither of your parents.
Freddie, Lizzie can bring it up. Give the baby to me, darlings. I'm a really good mother.
Only one of my children has been in prison and that was such a short time. Barely counts.
And the other one's going out with a paedophile. Just don't let Russ look at the baby.
Oh, stop it.
Unless it's his. Anyway, I'm sure it'll... I'm not clever enough to find out.
Good. There you go, listeners. You can look back again now. It's fine.
Anyway, that was interesting. Everyone's zoned out. Anyway, have you all finished your, Sudokus?
Right. Come on, I've got to crack on.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Because
God,
I've got...
You've got a ton of writing to do, and I've got a wedding to go to.
No, it's not the writing. It's the people coming to look around the house that's bothering me.
Oh, blimey.
Me.
Yeah, sorry. And I've got a wedding to go to.
I've left a disenchanted 17-year-old tidying
in charge
up.
Of showing people around.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be in charge of tidying up, which is even worse, to be honest. But anyway. right, Owen Kiffin said... Thanks for today's episode, which kept me going while I was tired and hot and doing jobs I had been putting off. Oh, he sent us a picture of his Boat.
Oh, nice.
It made me think how far the podcast has come from those early days when you were keeping me company while emptying and cleaning the cassette toilet.
Oh, the good old days.
How you've gone up in the world to now being an accompaniment to me sanding down pipsqueaks, rusty gunnels and treating the rusty spots. Fabrice did make me giggle at an inconvenient moment and fall from my crouching pose to sit on my little finger, bending it the wrong way.
Ooh.
Which didn't help my mindlessness one jot. Ooh, that's horrible. That made my eyes water thinking about that. It's like when you bend it back on a door when you're going through a door.
Oh, God, that kills.
Yes, right.
Dong. That was your dong to dong. Say time's nearly up.
Yes, no, that was me hitting the thing by mistake. Headley, Barbara, yes, sorry. Barbara, you know all my noises that shouldn't be noises.
Your noises off.
Barbara Wiseman said that, yes, I'm a twerp, Barbara, and I do this all the time. Headley Nicklaus played Kathy,
yes,
not
I...
Pat.
I and noticed
I,
that
I always
too,
say
Lucy.
I get Kathy and Pat muddled up, and I get Chelsea and Tracy muddled up
but
all
I
the time.
But I knew you knew.
I know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I just get the names
I
wrong.
Wanted to shout out.
I bet you did. But you said you, twat,
I couldn't be
you
asked.
Said.
Mm. You're not even on Twitter, so I couldn't even be asked to at you.
Mm, thanks a lot. Much more importantly, after the fire at Radio Borsetshire, I do hope that Fabrice was not injured or not so badly that he cannot continue with his broadcast. They are wonderful. I particularly laughed at the singing bowl and insane stick this week. But all weeks, absolute gems. The podcast is a highlight of my week-long May continue. Thank you. Barbara, that's very, very nice.
Oh, thank you.
And we will hear from... Well, we'll be going to Radio Borsetshire, but not necessarily Fabrice later. Steve Barry said, firstly, the fate. My understanding of the birth of the Archers is that one of the strongest contenders for the village that Ambridge is based on is Inkbarrow, a small village on the Worcestershire-Warwickshire border. The pictures of the bull are the real bull in Inkbarrow, and having been brought up near there, it is a village of about the right size and location. It is also very close to Pershaw, where Toya lives.
Oh.
So it is perfectly understandable that she might be found there on a random weekend when nothing else is there to amuse her. Secondly, I loved Matt's MASH theme. This may cause you and your listeners some amusement. It is a tune I love. And so when my wife and I married, rather than do a speech, I wrote a poem. I wrote a poem for my wife and set it to the music. I knew the subtitle to the theme, but the tempo and timing suited the words. I have fond memories of my now departed father laughing out loud as I started to play the intro, as he was the only person who both recognised the tune, knew what the subtitle was, and got the irony. Thirdly, It was called Suicide is Painless, was the subtitle. Thirdly, I think that what Ruri is doing is actually classed as being an escort rather than a prostitute, though, as Shakespeare said, a rose by any other name still smells a bit sickly, or words to that effect. As far as the reason behind this mummy issues, not surprising, but counselling rather than using it as a way to keep out of student debt is possibly a healthier way to deal with them. Absolutely, Steve. Yes. Oh yes, George is a wrong'un, also known as a little shit. Love you all every week, and especially how Jeff gets a hint of Febreze in his voice when he gets excited.
Yeah, he does, he does.
he said, Steve in the scrubs. Thank you, Steve in the scrubs. I hope that's you're wearing scrubs and you're in the scrubs. But yes, I agree. He needs counselling and therapy, and he needs someone to address... Well, the Helen's child, isn't it? You know, at some point someone has got to address all this childhood trauma that's going on in the village, rather than just going, oh, they love the park, don't they, or something, and just not addressing the fact that they've all been through incredibly dreadful things, including Rory. Tamsin Farthing, who says, the podcast brightens my Sunday morning ironing fest every week. I really can't remember when I first heard The Archers, and I remember Pat arriving when her uncle Hayden ran the village garage.
God.
His son eloped with the daughter of the couple who ran the post office.
Wow.
I have been driven from my previous lethargy by week after week of you ignoring the elephant in the room. How very dare you. If Shuna does leave Ambridge, and she may not, she bottled out before when she was poised to run off with Richard Locke. Then given that Judy Bennett is married to Charles Collingwood, does that increase the chance of a fatal heart attack for Brian? Alternatively, the cast have all agreed that 103 is now the minimum retirement age and they will all go on forever.
I think she'll definitely come back.
Mm.
I mean, she's never said this is forever anyway.
No.
As far as we know, it's just a year or something.
Has Shula told Jill that she is leaving to bother the heathens in the north? If so, Jill has been uncharacteristically quiet on the subject.
Yeah,
this
true
is very
that.
True.
No, Jill's so obsessed with warning Beth.
Yeah. You keep away from my boy. Anything happens to him.
Yeah.
Talking of Richard Locke, a.k.a. Dirty Dr. Dick in our house, why has he vanished again after reappearing as a potential love interest for Lizzie and catalyst for Shula? Yep. Yeah. Also, she agrees with you. After tonight's episode, methinks Josh doth protest too much, and there will be some kind of intimate encounter between him and Beth once they're all at the stables.
Yeah.
If Beth is true to character, Josh will get his face slapped and we will be spared Grundy Fairbrother fraternal rivalry for the same woman.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
If we're going back to 1970s TV series for Matt Rodriguez Payne's Tunes, then how about the Waltons? Quite a good fit for the Archers. And she says, sorry for the outpouring. Don't apologise, Tamsin. It was lovely to hear from you.
Lovely.
I don't know the tune to the Waltons.
No.
All I remember is, good night, John Boy. That's all.
What's this one? Da, 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 da. Oh, Lost of Summer Wine.
Okay.
That's all I know from the old days, Lucy.
Yes. Yes, Jill genuinely hasn't said a word about Shula going.
No, that's quite weird, isn't it? It's only, I wonder what Kenton's amazing surprise will be. Yeah, it's weird that because she had that big monologue with Beth, but she hasn't even bothered to say goodbye to Shula.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, she's got a lot on her plate, hasn't she? She's got running around after Leonard.
Making quiche.
Warning people off. I thought she was a bit harsh.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, God, best not.
When she said,
in.
Oh, you know, he's special, he's sensitive, I thought, all right, so it's all right to two-time Josh or to, you know, whatever, do anything to anyone else, but not Ben, you know.
Also, it's like, guys, the reason she left him or hurt him was because she thought he was saving her sister, so fair dues.
Yeah.
It was not that big a deal, get over it. They just split up for 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting like Tracy, just get over it, okay? Just moody because I'm pregnant.
For God's sake, bad.
Just doing a poo.
There's no loo roll, Mum.
Use the kitchen. No.
Brad, give me a pair of your pants that you've buried. Right, Andrew Horn. Hello, Andrew. It's a long time since we've heard from you. He says, I cannot believe this is my first email to you. Normally, by the time I think of writing, you've recorded the show. I doubt that, Andrew. Anyway, however, I have just listened to Thursday's show and have a point to raise. I will leave Tracy's good luck and Justin's early love life and first steps up the greasy pole to others. My point concerns Julianne. I had thought the new Gay Grables was a secret Borchester land project, but the Ardil Justin scenes last month kicked that into touch. Now we know Julianne is in property development with a company and her own portfolio. Could she be one of Ardil's employers?
Wow.
My predictions are usually wrong, but it doesn't stop me trying, he says. Keep up the good work, Andrew. Andrew, that's very good.
That's a great prediction, because who wouldn't want to keep Julianne, the actor, in it?
Yes.
And her lovely Julianne voice. Oh, yeah. I think that's a brilliant prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't they just tell us?
Oh, I know. Like, maybe it's going to be a Christmas or a New Year's Day. And now, you know, like, when's it? Are they saving it for a special day, aren't they?
Have they started the building work or anything yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And what's Ardil doing? Mm. Apart from looking into crystal balls and...
Yeah.
What is he actually doing?
Yeah.
He's not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, that's what Beth Olivia said. Why is it necessary for somebody... the potential manager to spend a month, a year living in the village.
In a B&B. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's another we've never worked in building. Oh dear. Yes, that is it.
Have you sent William to like chop up some trees or something?
Oh, can you hear it?
Yeah, who is it?
It's the tree surgeon down the road.
Oh, now to do with you?
No, I hope not. If
hasn't
anything,
he got a loud saw?
He has.
Terribly loud drill.
And a generous package.
Generous package in that saw sheath.
Now I want to talk about some things.
Oh,
briefly,
yes, of course. Yep.
Because I've been de-stressing myself. Much as Tracy should do, except I'm very lucky and I got sent these things to try. So I've been doing them without having to buy them, which ideally they should send things to people like Tracy to try.
Yes, that's a good point, Lucy.
However.
But I'm sure they do, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, sure, they're all very supportive, you know.
Yes.
I mean.
Are you going on about?
Well, you'd probably rather have food, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I'm not degrading the amazing bath salts and stuff, but you probably would rather have food.
Yes, but some situations. The thing I am talking about is the venison.
The venison?
I got venison.
Venison?
And you said you
meat?
Didn't want venison because you were frightened of it.
Oh, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Well, you know beef?
I do.
Come across beef?
Yeah, but I've never cooked it.
What?
Unless it's a burger. I don't cook red meat. I don't know what to do with it.
Lamb? No.
Mostly corn and chicken.
Oh, God.
And a bit of salmon. I don't know what to do with proper things, like proper animals.
Oh, God.
No, okay. No.
Well, this is from Deer Box and...
Oh, that's sweet. As in D-E-E-R.
Yes.
Box. Oh. I do know that venison is much better for the environment. Eating game is better, isn't it?
And there are 2 million deer in the UK, which is the highest ever number since the last ice age.
Whoa.
So deer management is, we have to do it, otherwise they'd be everywhere. They are everywhere around here.
I'd love it if they were in my garden or something. Do they come in your garden?
Yes, you bloody wouldn't. Love
I'd
it
love
anyway.
That.
So.
I want a pet one. I wouldn't kill it and eat it, Lucy. Sorry, oh my God, this is completely completely going. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, if you tasted the venison steak thing that they did with Italian herbs, you would very, very happily eat it.
Did they prepare it for you then?
Yes. They just it came all in like a freezer thingy. And there were steaks and sausages and kebabs. And they're absolutely delicious.
What, as in...
They're so lovely.
Is it a whole deer, basically, in a box? But, you know, like... But no, like a farm box.
Oh.
You can go to the farm and it's much better, isn't it, to buy...
Oh, I don't know. I don't know which bits of the deer
animal
it's made from.
And share it with
probably
your neighbours.
They've told me somewhere, but I can't find it. But anyway,
oh, wow.
It's absolutely delicious. And it is just so much healthier. When you read all the things, it's like a venison. It's like a superfood.
Yes, I've heard amazing things about it, and it's definitely becoming more popular. I have actually made a lasagna with venison mince.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because it's healthier, isn't it, and better for the environment. And it,
yes,
but what I don't like, and what you can probably tell me, it doesn't. Does it taste gamey?
No.
Okay, that's
no,
what I
doesn't.
Don't like.
That's when you have deer that's been hung for ages, and then it smells a bit wee. I don't really like that because I don't like game meat. This just tastes like really, really, really good quality beef.
Okay, I'm going on Insta now. I'm going to follow him.
Excellent.
Okay, that's good. Dearbox.
And they gave me a recipe for venison rack, like rack of lamb, with springtime pea puree. And it was
dearbox.co.uk.
Yes.
Oh, and that's nice. Look there.
And they support the country, the Countryside Trust and things like that. So they sort of support, they're not just in it for profit. They sort of support local things.
I know somebody who'd love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, that looks amazing.
It's really
their Christmas
yum.
Dinner picture. Mm. Bloody hell, that looks amazing. Okay, all right, sold.
And what was I going to say? I was thinking about the deer park, because we haven't heard anything about any of the... We always used to hear about the home farm, the fishing lake, the deer park and all that malarkey, and now that's all disappeared. We never...
Well, we've got other more serious fish to fry. Who's... What deer park?
Well, no...
Who runs it?
Well, Brian Aldridge, it was also on Home Farm. He had deer, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, because every so often, him and Will go out and they talk about the hinds and which needs, you know, shooting.
I mean, that
and
completely
that.
Passed me by.
Yeah, no, they've got
so,
deer.
So they just had birds.
No.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, and now not a dicky bird about the venison, but I think if they were to investigate that storyline, it would be very timely because we are now looking for different food sources and stuff. And it would be, I can see that if one of the children, if something does happen to Brian and one of the children does take over the farm, it would be something that somebody like Adam would be all over like a rash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Deer pizza.
Right. Anybody? And what?
A slice of deer on your pizza.
Deer
pizza.
It's weird because when you say venison, you just have images of Henry VIII flinging bones around, don't you? And sort of
also, there's a difference between, in my head, between eating deer, I love little deers, and eating venison. Venison sounds like you're eating the meat, but if I say eating a deer, I just think of those lovely doe eyes.
So when you have a bacon sandwich, do you think of eating...
I don't eat bacon sandwiches. Don't really like it. I'm like half veggie, Lucy. I mean, like, I just like don't often eat that much meat, but I really like fish and like chicken. So not really veggie. Just pretend. Basically, we just eat corn, which is probably really bad for you, actually.
It's one of those things that you feel virtuous eating and then find out it uses 27 billion gallons of water to produce one little corn.
Exactly. It's got so much salt in it. It's really bad for you.
Well, it has to make it taste of something other than corn.
Exactly.
Right. And now.
Oh, is that all you're going to talk about then?
That's all
you're talking about loads.
No, because I'm going to do them in stages, but that's my first one.
Oh, okay. Stage
although.
Well, I am following dearbox.co.uk.
Because I am somewhat stressed at the moment, what with having to keep the house tidy because of people coming around having lazy. I am doing self-care. Self-care.
Is it?
In it, though. I am doing... So, venison isn't really self-care. It is just delicious. But...
sort of is, though. I mean, a good meal
always
makes me feel better.
Yes. You feel like everything's getting on top of you and then you have sausage and mash and think, oh, I could do it, it's fine. Yeah. It's like when you have a cup of tea at just the right time and you think, what was I worrying about?
Yeah, completely.
But I went to have a very, very long bath because the advantage of having to have your house look like Homes and Gardens all the time is that you actually get to enjoy it yourself rather than thinking, why have I just made it look nice for everyone else and now I'm too busy to enjoy it?
Do you have like a hotel bathroom now?
I do, yes.
With indulgences in it.
Well, it's clean. That's as big as an indulgence as I get, really.
But has it got smeary marks on it in the tub? Oh, okay.
Somebody sent us... Did they send you the Blue Aurora? The blueberry wine?
Yes, but I haven't tasted it yet, Lucy, because I'm waiting. I thought it'd be a really nice autumnal dinner, post-dinner thing.
It is yummy.
I didn't really know when to have it.
I had it with a tonic. I made like a gin and tonic out of it. And it was gorgeous.
Like a syrup?
Yes. It's not, because it's only 11%. But it's English blueberries. And I have tried to grow blueberries in this country, and hats off to them that they managed to get more than three. it's hand-picked from Lutton Farm in Northamptonshire.
Imagine if they'd started their business and then grown the blueberries and then only managed to grow three.
That's the kind of business decision that an Archer scriptwriter would come up with.
It is.
First we're going to sell the wine, then we're going to make
the website first.
And an app. Oh, look, we've done it. There we go. Yes, but they do. They do Blue Aurora Dusk, Blue Aurora Midnight, and Blue Aurora Ice. And I had the ice one.
Oh. When do I drink it?
You can add it to sparkling wine. So it makes it like nice. Fruity.
Yeah, like
fruity,
a cassis sort of thing. Yeah, okay,
or
good.
On its own as a digestif.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking.
Or you can just neck it alongside cheese or chocolate puddings, it says.
Oh,
well, it actually says chocolate
nice.
Desserts, but I refuse to say the word dessert, so I'm saying chocolate.
Okay,
pudding.
Next time I have some girlies round, oh boys, I'm gonna just come out with it at the end of the meal.
Like with the bocco, like you did with the bocco.
Exactly, you like just like a person that just has it in their cupboard.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
just
no, let's
this.
Have some of this, guys. Yeah, let's open the bottle. Yeah, okay, good.
And I had a bath, and I put in it my Dr. Teal's
blueberry wine.
No, I had drank that. And I had Epsom salt, the Dr. Teal stuff,
I
the lavender
that.
Stuff. It's so gorgeous.
I'm actually obsessed with the smell now. because I had the, I've got the salts, which is amazing. But you know, it's body wash.
Yeah.
It smells so good. So
it
I'm
does.
Actually using
Lovely.
It as hand wash Ooh. In the toilet. Because it makes the toilet smell so nice. And
that is
you know,
swanky.
When you live with four kids, your toilet doesn't ever smell nice.
No.
But now it does. Because I used the body wash, I've watered it down a bit as a hand wash. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over that perfume.
So it was all that I had a very, very mauve, purpley, calming bath with me lavender
and
the blueberry
drink.
Thing. And it was great.
Oh, that's so great, Lucy. And then followed by a Ribena.
Yeah, I've just decided. You, at the moment, you just have to take very small pleasures where you can before some bugger takes them off you. That's yes.
No. Have you got the September blues? I have a bit.
Well, I've got the keeping your house
well,
clean.
No, you're too busy. That's the thing. You've got a big focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I feel that. So I've got that back to school feeling and entering this terrible crisis.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to find positivity in the world at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, small pleasures, Lucy, and we are lucky enough to have a few of those.
And we, most of them come in the form of alcohol. I find.
And the Archers with a bath is anything more relaxing if it's a good episode that's not too stressful.
Yes, as long as nothing's happening to the horror bins, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
La, 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 la.
Oh,
la, 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 la.
Did we do
Oliver, let's... can you just turn this off? It's really stressing me out.
Have you got any steps? and now, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, he's left a few of his things here. There's some sort of curling wand. I think that's what it is. And one of the firemen said they found a mug in the debris that must be his. It says, hang on, sashay away on it. Don't know what that means. Should I take it round to the salon as a memento, do you think? No, not now. Oh, I'm doing the show. Oh, now. Hello, this is Susan Carter here, looking like I've just stepped out of the dairy, because I have. Today it is my sad duty to take my seat at the helm of the Good Ship Afternoon Show on Radio Borsetshire. It's lovely to be back here again, and I know many of my fans, hiya joy, have been eagerly awaiting this moment, but I am aware it's under tragic circumstances. Our thoughts go out to our dear friend Febreze.
Hello, it is me, Febreze of Felpersham. Oh, what exactly the hecky blinking is going on here, please, thank you. Why are you in my chair, Mrs. Susan Carting?
Febreze, we were told you weren't going to make it.
Yes, it is lovely surprise. I can tell how happy you are. Fortunately, when ceiling fell in, I was wearing L'Oreal Vavavoom Extra Firm Old Boost Spray, which acted like scaffolding and held the ceiling up off my brain.
But you were unconscious.
No, I was pretend. I was very convinced, I think. I wanted a firefighter to throw me over their shoulder. I have never been lift up like that before, and I thought it would be very exciting and drama. And it was. She had arms like arms, that fire lady. Then they took me to Borchester General for a checking. Then I came home and had to rest and eat chocolates. But anyway, what I want to know is this a coup d'etat? Why are you in my chair?
Well, we thought you'd passed away, so I was asked to take over your slot.
You can keep your sticky fingers well away from my slot, thank you, Mrs. Susan Carting. I think you've had the itch to take over in my chair ever since you were fired for talking about your husband's sex life on a family show.
I just said my Neil managed to combine pigs, chili and intimacy in a unique and fulfilling way, and people took it the wrong way. You'd think the RSPCA would have better things to do, frankly.
Well, that being as it may be being, I am back now, so you may get your pointy little elbows off my desk and I can take back over, please. I believe this little sticky pot is yours, is it? It's a Bridge Farm broccoli and mange kefir. Oh no, mango. But anyway, it smells like a shoe. Please clear away. Also, I presume that is your scooter in place of my woohoo in the car park.
The pistachio Segway? Yeah, that's mine. I've got all the gear, shopping basket on the front and a reinforced tabard. I hope you didn't damage it.
How can I tell when it is squashed beneath my woohoo? We'll have to see when I reverse out, won't we?
Well, I'm getting the impression you think I've stepped on your toes a bit, Febreze.
Stepped on them? You have danced right across them like Tess Daly when she'd do that strange rocking thing with Claude Winklepicker at the end of Strictly. My toesies are squished by you, Mrs. Susan Crating. Now all the trust has gone. I can never pretend to be ill again without worrying that you will be there ready to leap into my wheelie chair and spit yogurt all over my microphone. I think you should now leave. Please get out of my studio.
Febreze, there's no need for it to end like this.
Oh, there very is. The best man has won, and it is me. Who is the best man? Yes. Don't let the door bang you in the bottom when you go.
I thought Clary was bad, but you're the biggest diva I've ever had to work with.
A diva is just another word for a shouty perfectionist, Mrs. Crate. Go away. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and I would just like to say thank you so much to my colleague, Mrs. Susan Crater, who has looked after my little show so beautiful while I was away recovering from a ceiling on my head. How lovely it is to be part of the Radio Borchester family. And now, on with the show.
At first I was... Radio Borsetshire.
I know.
Sorry.
We're just yakking on now. Thank you, Febreze.
Thank you.
If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at on Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze. Or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
What's going on with the over-enunciation there,
don't know,
madam?
Also, if anyone would like to send such amazing reviews, and we are super, super thankful. But we sort of need a few more because we're just trying to show off our podcast, aren't we?
To
people.
Yes.
And we want them to like open the podcast and go, oh my God, they've got like 100,000 million reviews and they're all 5-star.
Mm.
We are, thank you. It's just if we keep up the reviews, then we keep up our profile.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And subscribing is helpful as well, I think.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Matt Rodriguez Payne this week has done something that we will be dancing on our chairs.
Woo! Yay.
But I can't stop and say goodbye because I need to go and tidy the house.
Oh, no, so, you can't. Yeah,
no, you can't because you can't stop it.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But I'll play it now. It's great.
Okay, cool.
Do you know? You probably don't. You might know it when it starts.
Well, I'll just be dancing because I'm about to go to a wedding. So I'll be in the mood. Yay.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
We love you in advance.
Love ya.
Bye.
Bye. We've got to look forward to Strictly.
Oh yes. Yay. No, bugger that, the bake-off's coming back. Get in. That's my favorite.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.